What was it, a book? That's when I first met Bernie Justice, too. That's right. Of course, I recognize him. Dick, I haven't met yet. I haven't had the pleasure of meeting Dick face to face. And I always, every time I went to the fest, I would ask if he's there. And of course, when I go, he wasn't there. But we'll connect up someday. Did you say you met Bernie Getz, the subway guy?
Yeah, I'm in the kitchen right now, and you can tell me if I make it over this, or do you have to listen on the input? That's up to you, but as long as you can hear me. I can tell you can hear me. I'll be up on the, maybe I'll be upstairs on the better radio a little later. But yeah, Bernie Getz, I had a brief conversation with him.
Yeah, you're making it fine, Andy. No problem at all. This idiot's not doing anything. Interesting guy. Was this before or after?
Absolutely. This was after. Absolutely after. After the fact.
KC2MXL.
Too bad he didn't have a little better advice when he was interviewed, you know? He would have been better off if he would have kept his mouth shut.
Absolute positivity, without a doubt. He would have been better off not saying words. And then, you know what? At the ham fest, he was rather quiet. He didn't say very much. It was hard to pull anything out of him as far as a good conversation. So he was definitely, after that, it was too late.
KC2MXL.
MXL. Go ahead. KC2WGV.
How you doing, John? How you doing, forget his name, Barney. How's everything? Been trying to get in here, but I don't know. It's kind of difficult to catch the repeater.
No, we were talking about Bernard Getz. This is Andy, N2HOH, my name is Queens.
Yes, Andy, how you doing? We spoke before. How's everything tonight, fellows?
Nice and quiet. We just finished up the TechNet, and we were just discussing some of the things that were going on in the TechNet. Then we got on the conversation with Bernard Getz.
Yeah, John, I heard the whole TechNet, almost the whole TechNet. I typed it into the Internet. They have the live feed over the Internet. If you go on LimeMark, you can find the live feed. The problem is, after the TechNet was done, I tried to communicate with you guys, and I noticed that the live feed has, like, I think a 30-second delay compared to the when you tee up over the repeater. Is that so?
Yes, I believe that's correct. It might even be longer than 30 seconds. It could be, like, 45. I noticed that occasionally when I listen to it, it's always delayed.
Yeah, I wanted to talk and hear myself on the Sennheisers, but it wasn't going to happen. Because it's a 45-second delay.
Yeah, at first I thought it wasn't working, and I had walked away, but I left the computer on. Then all of a sudden I heard things being repeated. I didn't know if that was an echo or a delay, and I found out, no, it's delayed.
Now, is that happening because they set it up to have a 45-second delay, or it's the way they have it set up with a repeater, or is it like, is it purposely done, or is it a defect?
With the software, because everything on this repeater is recorded consistently throughout the day. So it's that being played back, and I guess to play it back, that develops the delay for some reason, I don't know.
Copy. Over to you, Andy.
Yeah, well, I didn't even know it was a delay, because I've never listened to it while I was at home. Listened to it at the salt mine, I guess for the astronomy net, I listened to that. And it was easier to listen on the computer than it was to find an RF friendly zone in the building. So I switched to the modern technology. And Oh, yeah, the people at TNPS. Okay, I think that was about it. Even that guy, that character from cable TV, Ugly George, was it, with the camera, the women or whatever. I saw him there. I went to him more than two or three HamFest a year. I went to a lot of them when I first started. Anything that was local, I would go to.
Well, with the small lab that I have, I'm lucky because most of my stuff is in storage. The current stuff I have here in the lab, but if I keep going to HamFest and I keep buying stuff, I'll have to move out of here.
John?
I thought you dropped out a couple of times, but I thought I heard somebody in the distance.
Hey, John, what I was going to say was the XYL did a double, so I'm going to talk to her for a while, and I should catch you guys later. So hopefully you're on. I'll be on a little later. N2H2H.
Okay, Andy. I'm going to go back to work here in the lab. Got a few things to do, but I'll be monitoring. KC2, WGB. We'll be clear.
Copy, Andy. KC2MXL. KC2MXL listening.
Oh, Nick, you're still in there. I thought you signed out. KC2WGB.
KC2WGB? No, I'm still here. I'm still here, buddy. I thought you were busy. You had to go or something. I remember last time we talked, you were talking with Wesley, and then as soon as I got on, I said that I read a couple of books. I took Wesley's side and he disappeared.
Yeah, well, sometimes I have experiments running that have to be paid attention to, you know, and I got to run in and out from the shack here to the lab. It's all in one garage, but they're two separate rooms, so sometimes I got to hop in and out.
Copy. Yeah, I didn't want to bother you because you said you're going to the lab to do check something up, so I know I don't want you to make a mistake because of me and like $50,000 piece of equipment dies.
Well, if that happens, it would be my fault. I try to pay attention, believe me. Don't like that happening. But, quiet night. I just went in there and had to turn some stuff off that was ringing and buzzing, so I shut that down. And I'll finish up the other stuff later. So what are you up to tonight?
Nothing much. Spent some time with the wife. She fell asleep. I was showing her some pictures. You know how you know those Google TVs? I purchased like three of them when they came out. I said, oh, great, internet with TV and a little keyboard in your hand, I'll buy it. So I got them at a good price, like $500 each, I think for the 46-inch version. I bought a few of those. So we have one, and you have a little keyboard, and you go to YouTube, and you can type in whatever you want through the little keyboard, the little Sony keyboard. And I did the YouTube, and we went on Hubble Telescope, and the pictures are just incredible. Like, we were both in awe, you know.
Yeah, that Hubble has taken some fantastic pictures. Everything I look at, I'm amazed. And you know, that piece of junk it started out to be, the few repairs they did on that, really paid to do, because they've earned a lot of knowledge from that and made a lot of experimental. I'll tell you the truth, I think they should run another repair mission and keep that thing going, at least until the James Webb gets up there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's definitely earned its place in history, the Hubble telescope. It's incredible. The whole world loves that scope. A lot of followers. They were talking about how they pointed it to, I think it's deep field space or something like that. It was a section where they gambled for 11 days, and everybody was saying, no, don't point it there. It's empty. There's nothing there. There's nothing there. You know, everybody's trying to get access to the Hubble, and you're going to point it in an empty space, right? And they pointed it to this empty spot where you would think nothing would happen. And that's where they discovered the best pictures ever taken by Hubble, which actually show billions of galaxies. Like, literally, you see, like, all the galaxies lining up. It took, I think, 11 days for the light to come in. It was weird. It was, like, sick. It was, like, light that was, like, 13.5 billion years old finally hit that CCD chip inside the Hubble. And what they saw, it was like awe-inspiring. They actually saw like so many galaxies in like the darkness of space. But you had to keep it there for 11 days straight.
Yeah, those were the deep field images. Yep. And to keep it accurately pointed to that one particular spot within a half a degree or something like that, they have to do for 11 days. That's high-tech stuff, and yeah, those pictures were awesome.
I mean, just to think about it, that the way I understand it, every galaxy is like our galaxy. So we're looking at different galaxies, and within those galaxies, there's the opportunity of life, just like another planet Earth. Probably, you could say safely and assume safely that in every galaxy, there's at least one planet Earth.
K2MU.
Bernie recognized. Yeah, that's very true. You look at all those stars out there, and I think they're going to find out that most of them do have planets. So, when you're looking at that massive amount of stars, billions and billions, sure, not only are they going to find one similar to Earth, but they're going to have life form. What they're going to be like, we don't know, but yeah. Let me turn it over to Bernie. It's KC2WGB.
Good evening, gentlemen. I was just reading the mail. You probably don't hear me too well because I'm at my computer in my living room. But real quick, I just wanted to point out with that Hubble thing, I just happened to see a documentary on it not too long ago. That spot where they pointed it, where they thought it was a waste of time and nothing was there, it turns out it was something like a fraction of a degree in width or something. It was like a dot. So you're not talking about a big chunk of sky. It was like a very, very tiny dot that has like all those billions of galaxies. So that makes it even more cool. Like you wanted to spend in there just enjoying the conversation. And I wanted to jump in earlier and tell Dick how much I thought it was cool that started off the TechNet with a discussion on extraterrestrial life. That's changing times. Okay, Bernie said it, K2MU, back to the other station. I think it was K2MXL, K2MU.
Hey, K2MU, I spoke to you today. How you doing? Always a pleasure to hear from you. Over to you, John.
Yeah, that was interesting with the TechNet tonight. You know, I think that was Rich N2EO who was asking about the bad aliens or something. Yeah, but also, I don't know if you listen to the Astronomy Net. A lot of interesting stuff going there. Craig has got a good show going there. Pretty popular.
No, I haven't caught that one, John. Quick question, though. If let's say you're standing in Galaxy A and I'm in Galaxy B, what's the fastest way we could send a signal? It'll have to be through that new laser thing that NASA just developed?
Well, they claim that is going to be a quicker way to send more data. Yeah. Don't know exactly, I haven't read about it yet, but I've heard about it, and it seems that's the way they're going to go with probably the Mars mission even. It seems like they're going to count on that. Yep, good stuff.
So basically, instead of taking 20 minutes to Mars, whatever that messages that they send. It takes 20 minutes for the signals on the rover or whatever, the Curiosity, to receive. This thing's going to shave down that 20 minutes?
That's what they're claiming, and be able to carry more data. So I will read about this. In fact, I have it on my list to read because I'd like to know more about it. Sounds kind of strange.
I'd like to figure out how they're going faster. I mean, what are they, catapulting the laser, like encapsulating the signal? It's crazy, because if a radio signal takes 20 minutes to reach Mars, so whatever you program here will hit the Curiosity 20 minutes later, they're saying they're going to bring that down to what, like instant, just by using lasers? It's interesting.
Yeah, extremely interesting. That's why I want to read about it. I really don't know if the speed is that much of an increase, or if it's the amount of data they're going to be able to send at a much higher rate. The transmission time, distance-wise, may be the same, but the amount of data per second would be extremely high. That may be the other point. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it says here the main goal of the LLCD is to prove the fundamental concepts of laser communication and transfer data rate of 622 megabits per second, which is about five times the current state of the art from lunar distances. I don't know.
Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system, node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link clear.
Auto connecting.
Node number 9126.
Welcome to the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system, node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link active.
This is NQ, UQU, from Hicksville, New York. My name is Chuck. Is there anyone out there? This is N2UQU, number 2, Uniform, Quebec Uniform. My name is Chuck. Is there anyone out there?
Besides that, and an awful lot of shoveling, Oh, man, have I gotten strong. It really hasn't been so bad.
Well, I agree that the roads have been... They've kept up the roads for the most part this year. And shoveling hasn't been too bad because I own a snowblower. And I'm going to take credit for today's snow not being bad because I got my snowblower into the shop on Friday, got it back on Saturday to get some major parts changed out. So I was prepared for today.
Yeah, there you go. Absolutely happens every time. I'm surprised, too. We usually lose our power a lot here. So I've got a generator. I haven't used it in practice for more than an hour or two all season. Outside of running it, which I do every week, I give it an hour or so a week just to keep it fresh and funky. But it hasn't seen much use. We got a reasonable amount of snow, but. Outside of that, it hasn't been so bad. I should explain that I'm a, on the ham radio side of things, I'm a VE. I run a chat net on 2 meters up here in Westchester on Thursday night. And I'm a dyed-in-the-wool CW QRP straight. Person. I should explain. I was dropped on my head as a child from N2PZ.
N2ZEP coming back. Now, I've got a tech license from before the code was dropped, so I'm strictly a tech. I won't be upgrading to general so fast, even though there's only I could do it, but just taking a written. But in all honesty, I don't have desire for the HF, as the only advantages that I would have over my current license. And code, that's actually what kept me out of the hobby for many, many years. I'm about concluding my second 10-year cycle on the license. I'll have to renew it sometime this year.
No kidding. Hey, listen, I'll be back in about a minute. I'm going to run and get a newspaper. N2KZ.
N2KZ, N2ZEP, standing by.
N2KZ is back. Yay.
Okay, Carl, just wait until you get into the TV station before you start reading that newspaper. Not too good idea to read while you're driving. N2ZEP here.
No, I can't say I'm that good yet. That would be a trick. I have a hard time enough reading the newspaper as it is, because the print's getting smaller and smaller. At least to me. That's pretty good. All right. Hey, I don't know if you're interested in such things, but I understand the former Z100 and WPLJ disc jockey, Scott Shannon, is starting on CBS FM this morning. You have any interest in that? I'm kind of curious that he's made his way all the way through New York radio.
I don't follow any particular disc jockey, but I guess he goes where employment can take him, either by choice or by necessity. I really haven't paid attention to his career, whether the previous moves or even this one have been at his choice or the station's choice.
Yeah, I think he was dropped by PLJ because
they didn't think he was worth it anymore. I don't know what their reasoning was. But he's about the only, at least to my mind, he's about the only known disc jockey in the New York Metro during this this period of time, you know, the post-WABC era, which has been a long time now, but for what that's worth, I gotta tell you, I almost never listen to radio. I listen to the news channels on occasion. I'm on ham radio a lot, because it's an awful lot better. And I do have satellite in my car. I don't even use that much. So there you go. What a wonderful world it is these days. I remember one story I can tell you. Let me buy a minute. I've got teenage daughters, and I once posed them a question saying, would you believe that you and your friends can all listen to the same thing all at once? And they were fascinated. They were going, how do you do that? Is it Wi-Fi or something? And I said, no, it's radio. And they're like, oh, yeah? Well, I'm about to show my age. I remember Cousin Brucey, Scott So, and I don't mean Scott Shannon, I mean Scott Muni, and all those guys. That's who I grew up with. Oh, yeah. I'm no kid either. I remember very clearly the pre-Beatle WABC with Bob Lewis on overnights and my hero, Dan Ingram. And, yeah, I remember when Scott Muni went to FM. Everybody was like, wow, we're never going to hear from him ever again. And then there was that period when WNEW-FM, right before they went progressive rock, was all women. That's where Allison Steele got her start. You remember that?
Scott, so here is WFM.
Oh, I remember Allison Steele. I don't remember which radio station she was on. But how about this for a throwback name? Murray the K and the Swinging Soiree.
Oh, yeah. And the WMCA Good Guys. You still have your bright yellow sweatshirt?
Nah, never had one.
Yeah, and there was also Winds 1010 New York. They were quite the player for some time. And then later on, there was 97 DJ, which I think they still have those call signs, except now it's, for years and years, it's been a religious station. But, oh, that was a funky operation. They were in a house trailer in Hackensack. Oh, man. But, yeah. Scott Muni was a character, man. He was quite a guy. And, geez, he was a big guy, too. Really big frame, and God bless him, an enormous gut. But, had a very distinctive voice, to say the least. But, yeah, it was, NEWFM. Where Scott and Allison Steele and a whole bunch of other people, Dennis Elsis and Cornetel and all those guys were. And
that many of those people, especially Elton Patel, started at Fordham University's radio station, and before Pete passed, he was there. Dennis Elsis is now back there. It's kind of weird.
Well, if we're reminiscing about old-time DJs, I got one that will come to mind immediately, Wolfman Jack.
Oh, yeah. Quite classic. I see. Me too. But, yeah. That's when border radio was a big deal. That was a very cool thing, although here in New York, we really appreciate that very much. But yeah, he was on XERB. Right across the border. And they were 500,000 watts, directional noise, with a nice broad nose pattern. Couldn't miss him. It was, what, 1570, I think. Maybe. 1070? 1570. I don't remember. But, yeah. Oh, man. But, see, that was, you know, that at that time, radio was very entertaining. People tuned in to hear the hosts more than hear the music, you know? And it was a wonderful thing to witness. But yeah, we didn't do too badly. I remember here in the city, the out-of-town stations you could get were KB1520 from Buffalo and WOWO 1190 Fort Wayne, Indiana. And, of course, the Big 8, CKOW in Detroit, Windsor. I used to love the Big 8. That station was really, really funny stuff. They had this thing called 2020 News. It sounded like your worst nightmare in news. All sorts of deaths and beatings and stabbings and disasters from NTKZ.
Is another name that'll bring back memories. Zachary.
Oh, yeah. Ultra cool guy. He's still alive.
I have no idea, but he was great right around Halloween.
Oh, he was great, period. He was so entertaining. Just a terrific guy. Oh, man. And he really played his looks, too, you know? Oh, God. I remember he had, what was it, on Channel 9? Channel 9 or 11? I think it was Channel 9. He had that, I think it was on Saturday nights, he had that, that show where they played monster movies. And, he was just so good at it. Really fun stuff. Do you remember, Sandy Becker and Sonny Fox and who could forget Uncle Floyd?
I go back to Wonderama just for fun before Sandy Becker picked it up and Sonny Fox ran both of them. Wonderama on Sunday morning and just for fun on Saturday morning. I'll go back even further. I remember Pinky Lee. I remember Paul Winchell and Jerry Mahoney with Knucklehead Smith. All those things. As I said, I got a feeling I got a couple of years on you.
Yeah, maybe you do. Names that come to my mind, Fred Scott, Officer Joe Bolton. Do you remember a show with Andy Devine called Andy's Gang? I remember that. I'm trying to think of what other stuff was going on. Yeah, it sounds like you may be even 5 years older than I am. I'm just 60. I was born in 53. Back to you.
Well, calendar-wise, I was born in 52, but I already changed the year for this year, so I'm up to 62. So we're about the same thing. So you'll remember Captain Kangaroo. You might even remember, I had an older brother, so television was on at an earlier age for me. Buffalo Bob Smith with Howdy Doody and Clarabelle. And then, of course, Soupy Tales.
Yes, absolutely. Soupy Sales was one of my very favorites. But one thing I remember, which is, and don't ask me why I remember this so clearly, but I remember being in a crib, watching TV through a crib in my parents' bedroom, and way back when the Tonight Show used to go on to New York, only New York, for 15 minutes before they went national. They'd be on the air at 11:15 to New York, to 11:30. And this was, I can't say I really remember Steve Allen, but I remember Jack Parr very well. And, Soupy Sales was just the greatest, funniest thing. What a wonderful, wonderful guy. And I got to meet him a couple of times to say hello. A wonderful moment. Listen, I'm just pulling into work, but it's so much fun talking with you. Thanks for the company. You made my Monday morning from NCKZ.
Well, stay dry, stay safe, stay warm, and I'll speak to you the next time you're on and if I'm on at the same time. N2ZEP, clear and listening.
Why are you all noisy?
I have no idea. I'm on the northern stretch of the Grand Central at this point.
I had a stop and get fuel. I was listening to you guys going down memory lane.
Well, you'll be happy to note, unless the traffic conditions have changed, you don't have any problems coming in this morning. By the way, congratulations to your daughter. I did see the Facebook posting of her scholarship.
Thank you, thank you. I guess all that driving, you know, definitely got us something. Now we're waiting to hear about the previous week's trip up there, and we'll see what happens with those awards.
Oh, this week was the one where she had to do the poached pear?
This was the baking for scholarships competition. Last weekend, the previous weekend, was the presidential scholarships.
Okay, so this one's based upon talent. The other one is based upon knowledge, I guess. Because I don't think you said she had to physically do anything.
It was academics. They interviewed her. They gave some problem solving, some other stuff. Team building exercises. I don't know, some other nonsense. But this week was all just being able to do some stuff. Written test, poach pear, analyze apple, roll out and bake a tray of cookies and decorate a cake.
Okay. So obviously she did well. I don't know what the grant's range was, but, you know, she got something. That's better than nothing.
And anybody wants to give us money, we'll take it. We'll take it. And if that, you know, if that covers some books, some supplies, you know, a little bit towards the meal plan, whatever, I don't care. It's something.
Anything is better than goose egg. And what do you think she could make out of a goose egg?
Oh, she's got so many ideas.
The answer should be an omelet.
Now, see, that would be thinking inside the box. You don't think inside the box if you want to be great.
I didn't say what kind of omelet.
I said you don't think inside the box if you want to be great. Omelet is like, you know, yeah, let's just take an egg and make an omelet. You want to use that egg in a different way, like maybe in a hollandaise sauce or, you know, some other fashion other than just an egg.
Okay. Whatever.
Anyway, so it was good. The weather was cooperative. It was a little chilly on Friday night, as evidenced by my picture. If you saw that one, I was like, oh my God, it's freaking cold out there.
Yeah, I saw that. Oh, by the way, when you get to parallel to the Gaga, the main road slows down a little bit, but that's the usual Woodhaven Boulevard garbage.
And I'm still maneuvering my way into the four-laner.
Oh, in that case, traffic reports are totally useless because it'll be totally different by the time you get here.
That's right. And to BBN Mobile, by the way.
All right. So what else is new with you?
Today's the day of employees.
Okay, you broke up a little bit. Today is the day for what?
Making all the noise. No, I said today is the day that Elliot deploys.
Ah, and where is he deploying to?
Afghanistan.
Whoopee-doo, just where you want your son to go. Rich, what's Elliot's rating? Is he infantry or has he got a specialty training?
He has a specialty training. Satellite communications.
Okay, that'll keep him relatively safe.
And to PPN Mobile. I don't know. Somebody's got one set up and maintain the equipment up at the forward position.
Yeah, but at least a lot of this stuff is going to be inside a building of some sort.
No, all of this stuff is mobile, pulled in a trailer by a Humvee.
In that case, I have one comment. Oh, boy.
Yeah, well, I put up new flags in front of the house yesterday. I put up a brand new American, brand new U.S. Army, and I found his division flag, 4th ID. Put that out in front of the house, and you know, hopefully they'll last the 9 months or so while he's over there without getting too shredded up, and then I'll bring him in once he's home.
Well, I've got a few American flags in the house, and I don't have a pole at this point. So if the American flag gets shredded, you want to change it, just let me know. I'll give you one.
Thank you. Why, thank you. Now, this one I spent some extra money on. It's a Annan flag from the Annan Flag Company, and it's a super heavy-duty, outdoor-rated flag, so it should be able to withstand better than my nylon ones that I've been putting up and keeping up all this time. We get this, you know, high wind day or one of those cracks, and it winds up tearing up the edges a little bit, but this one's supposed to not do that, so we'll see. And it is a premier mini flag company, so we'll see what happens.
I've got some nylon ones, and I also have at least one, I think it's cotton? I don't remember. But you do know the proper way of disposing the flag when it is beyond use, I assume.
Yes, I do. Got all that down. I've been flying flags now in front of the house for quite a bunch of years.
Okie doke. So, 11 months and then he's back? That should be, let's hope the 11 months go real fast.
Funny, I thought I said 9.
I thought I heard 11. Well, 9 months is better than 11.
0 months is better than 11.
That's true, too.
Maybe back from Rat's Mouth yet?
I haven't heard him.
Yeah, we woke up yesterday morning and lovely sight of a couple of inches of snow on the ground up in Saranac Lake. It was a lovely, lovely feeling that I might have to chase a snowstorm home most of the way.
It looks like we got lucky. I'm at the tunnel, so I'll have to say 7-3 because the repeater doesn't extend into the Midtown Tunnel. 10-2 ZEP clear.
Have a good day. I'll be hanging. And CPM Mobile.
K6DPZ, you're clear to land.
Hey, morning, Hal. K6DPZ, NY2H Mobile. Well, we didn't get the Uber storm, so I'm on my way to work. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing okay, Lou. I've got to take care of a few things early because I got to go out to the field later. Got to pick up my new ID badge.
Okay. Very good. How's your progress with opening up the station, the repair station out there going?
It's in the mill. It's going to take about 6 to 8 months. The FAA moves very slowly. But it's all in the mill, and it's in, you know, it's being mixed up. It's being worked on. You were at the show yesterday. I see you. I was running around like a rabbit. I don't know if I saw you and didn't say hi to you or what.
Oh, yeah. You were headed out the door, I think, and we kind of waved at each other. Yeah, and I saw you, your radio doctor vehicle out there too, yeah. But, and I think, I don't know, you were holding, did you buy something? It looked like a big box, like a power supply or something, or I don't know.
I can't remember. I was holding something. I'll tell you, it was a very good show. Had a lot of fun, and saw a lot of people. And I think somebody else is in there. YHY, take it. Dirty Purple Zombies.
Now that I came out of my car, I have the other receiver on the 8800 on the Plainview repeater, and he's on the Plainview machine. The volume was up high. Yeah, it was a good show, good turnout. I enjoyed it. Got to chat with a number of people again, and it was all good. So I got out of there a little after noon. I guess people, you know, they start breaking up around there a little, you know. So the only thing I bought, and I bought it for someone else as a gift, basically, was a an iPhone case with another battery. So in other words, it's a very thin one, but you put your iPhone in that one, and virtually you have two batteries now. So it extends your airtime. And it charges up very nicely, too. It'll charge the phone first and then spill over to the alternate battery. Anyway, pretty gray out here. All right, you're going to get a new ID, so I guess you're going to have to smile pretty for him this morning. NY2H.
Now, luckily, they're going to use the same ugly picture. But to get this ID, you got to take a test, another test. Even though I took the test 2 years ago, it's like starting from scratch. And they finally called me and says, I just have to come down and give my old one in. They'll give me my new one. But, you know, I'll tell you, this whole security thing has really become a real problem.
NY2H, yeah, well, it's such a different day. You go back a few years. I remember this had to be in the early 90s. I have a friend who's a salesman and travels a lot. Back then, if he had to go somewhere, often, rather than getting a round trip for, say, a weekend or during the week, it would be more expensive. He could buy two round trips and use the leg of one and then the leg of the other. So in other words, if he bought two round trips that were spaced apart, he would use half of each for that one weekend and save money and then have these extra tickets. So he gave me the extra tickets once I went to California. But, you know, I had to go under his name.